It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Winning Plays Podcast, back yet again as the Celtics continue to put the finishing touches on their 15-man roster. My name is Brian Robb, joined by Ryan Brandoni, as the Celtics make a nice late August signing to break up the news cycle. Ryan bringing in Svi Mykhailiuk. I'm going to keep working on that name. I think I'm kind of close there.
Mykhailiuk,
I believe.
Mykhailiuk, I think.
Mykhailiuk.
I don't know if there's a.
There's a K in there, but it's probably more of an H than the K.
I think it's Mykhailiuk. Yeah.
Yeah. 1 year deal. I assume the guarantees are not out yet. I assume this is a partial guarantee of some sort. Probably playing for a roster spot with, you know, I'd say he's a favorite for one after reportedly turning down some overseas offers in the past month here. But yeah, initial impressions about this guy who really shot the lights out for a tanking Hornets team the last 2 months of last year. So those are the numbers everyone's gonna be clinging to with this signing.
Yeah, I'd actually be surprised if it's not guaranteed, because in part, you know, he did have offers overseas by all reports. But he's also, I mean, he's a legitimate NBA player. Like, I think you could say that, not just on the whatever 20 games last year with Charlotte, where he played well. He had done some good things in the past on different teams. And he's 26, something like that, right? So, yep. Squarely sort of entering his prime, and he can shoot, and there are holes in his game. But in terms of, he's not really a 15th man. Like, he's better than a 15th man. I think he'd be ahead of some of the other guys who are on the roster for sure in terms of the rotation. But we have reached that point of the offseason where we're full on in. Let's talk about guys who are going to get a pretty healthy number of DMPs during the year, and maybe we'll have a couple games where they come in and shoot the lights out for a game here or there, and guys like that can get you a win, whereas guys who kind of have more jack of all trades, master of none sort of guys, I feel like sometimes at the end of the bench can't really do anything other than hold the fort in a way that doesn't really get you there. With a guy like this, you can envision a game where he comes in because they're resting guys on a back-to-back and scores 15 points on 7 shots and like kind of wins you a game. So I'm always for having a guy like that around who can shoot and play like this. And he's a good offensive player. And I think completely acceptable, particularly, you know, for the minimum particular, even if it's fully guaranteed, I would expect him to make the roster and play more than, you know, Banton or somebody like that if he makes the roster as well.
Yeah. I mean, Dan has almost like, it's like $100,000 guarantee, like very, very low guarantee for him. Yeah. But
he's on the roster, actually.
Yeah, honestly, like it is. And he didn't do much to like stand out in the roster at summer league either, to at least make you think that he's going to be able to give them something in a defensive type role. But yeah, this is, and I'm looking there. So the Basketball Reference pronunciation, first of all, Mykhailiuk is the emphasis with the emphasis on the K in the middle there, which is a real curveball when you look at it, you look at the last name. So we're going to have to get used to that. But the thing that stood out to me the most here, and you already hit it, like 63% of his shot attempts in the NBA have been from 3-point range. And Joe Mazzulla must be doing cartwheels when seeing those type of numbers. Only a 36% career shooter from three, which is why he's played for 6 different teams in 6 seasons. But certainly this will be the best team he's played for. And the variety of open looks he'll get when he does get chances on nights where guys are resting or guys get hurt is going to be up there. So, yeah, I mean, Brad Stevens wanted to add a wing, and I like this over a TJ Warren or a Lamar Stevens in terms of guys that actually might be able to give you something with offensively with a little bit of offensive upside left, as opposed to Warren, who looks like he's obviously going in the other direction at this part of his career.
I mean, I could see Warren sort of in the same way that I see Mekhi Luke, where he could win you a game, you know, a regular season game here or there, in that same way of like, I think part of the question with these guys is what are they willing to accept as a role? And I don't just mean like where you fit in a rotation, but particularly for this Celtics team, like, are you willing to take DMPs, right? Are you willing to sign a contract here knowing that you are not going to play every single game? And a guy like TJ Warren could reasonably look at that and be like, you know, I want to continue to have a career after this. And I have a big enough name where I don't want to be in a position where I am at risk of falling into a position where I take five straight DMPs, and like that almost changes the way that the league views me or something like that. Even if he's not as good of a player or an equal player, probably like these guys are probably about the same level of player that we're talking about, right? Where there's just the thing about like name recognition and how many jobs you're going to be able to get in the future off of the fact that you play really well in the bubble, or that you had a hot shooting stretch for the Detroit Pistons at some point, or that you started some games in Lamar Stevens' case for Cleveland, where like, do you have enough cachet or name recognition around the league where you can reasonably leverage three more years of your career out of that? And I think that Warren probably thinks that he can, and probably is right. Mikhail, like if he was already talking to teams in Europe, might be looking at this being like, this might be my last year, so I'm okay playing that role and taking my $2 million. So that kind of thing factors into it as well. Even if, again, like, I don't think these players are notably different in terms of their quality of play. And then there's also the question of role. Like you said, it's, you know, Missoula ball, they're going to shoot a lot of threes next year. They're going to shoot a lot of threes next year. And so to have a guy who, even if he's 36% for his career, that's more difficult than average shots that he's taking probably in there. Like, I think that he's a legitimately very good 3-point shooter. And so it's a reasonable thing if that's seems to be the strategy that the team is leaning pretty heavily into. And that's, you know, we've talked about it. Like, it's a reasonable strategy. You can look at the numbers and be like, yeah, you should shoot tons of threes. The league wants you to shoot tons of threes. You should shoot tons of threes. You can get frustrated and annoyed by that when they don't go in. But they have a vision, and you at least have to give them credit, even for the moves that I don't like, that they do seem to be signing guys that fit into a vision for how they want the team to play. And that's better than sort of putting together a roster that doesn't make sense in terms of how the pieces are fitting together. And then it's just up to each individual fan to decide if you like that vision or not. But there is at least a vision there that I think he fits into.
All right, let's take a break to hear from our sponsor, FanDuel. Get ready for the NFL season with incredible offers from FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. Plus, all customers who bet $5 will get $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Now is the best time to join FanDuel. The app is easy to use, adds to player props and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. FanDuel, the official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Mass. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. NFL Sunday Ticket offer ends 9/18/23. No refunds. Terms and embargoes apply. $100 off NFL Sunday Ticket, not YouTube TV. YouTube TV base plan required to watch YouTube TV. Redemption requires a Google account and current form of payment. Commercial use excluded. Subscription renews. Cancel anytime. And now back to the show. Yeah, it's funny because this deal was rumored to be offered for weeks now.
Yeah,
wow. Like, that it was on the table. Like, and so I wonder if anything changed there, or if he was just like, you know what, screw it. Like, I'm willing to, like you said, willing to just take sacrifice to be like, you know, be on this team to get a chance. And maybe he makes the most of all the opportunities and parlays that into something bigger down the road on a playoff team if the right situation, if the right injury hits and he just, you know, somehow plays his way into a ninth or 10th man during the regular season. But yeah, he probably had, you know, a good amount of money waiting for him overseas. And I mean, I guess that money's probably not going away. But for me, I like this. If the option's him versus TJ Warren, I like this for A, for like the 3-point shooting, like you mentioned, and B, the Suns let TJ Warren walk away. And to me, when they literally had to fill up their whole bench with veteran minimum guys. So for me, that's as big of a red flag as you're going to see if they got a close look at him for 30 games and were like, yeah, no, we will literally take 8 or 9 other minimum guys over you. And for at least with him, he's going to get a chance somewhere. But given where his injury's at, given his, you know, the 3-point shooting for him has never really been there. He's more of a, you know, long two drive to the hoop type guy. I like this as a fit for the roster more than Warren.
Yeah, I mean, with Warren, it is a two-way street. Like, maybe he didn't want to go back there. And in the moment, you know, now looking that he doesn't have a team, that seems like it would have been a bad decision. But, like, we don't know what exactly happened there. Like I was saying, you know, maybe he's looking at it saying, like, oh, okay, well, I'm on this team now. I'm going to be behind all these guys, and I'm not going to get enough minutes or whatever. I don't know. I agree that it looks like his career is winding down. But I also think that, like I said, the name TJ Warren and some of the stuff that he's done, he will probably continue to get chances for at least a while longer. And we'll see, you know, whether or not he's able to play 10 games and not be able to prove it and fall out and, the, you know, careers end pretty suddenly sometimes. As we're talking about this, I'm sort of reminiscing on the blogger days that we both have lived through. And I feel like we're missing out on like the Paul Shirley voice at this time of the year. I don't know if you remember Paul Shirley.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He was a popular blogger blogging about his sort of end of the bench life and what it meant to go and jump around and playing in all different countries and being super happy to get a 10-day contract and all the stuff that you sort of the life of a guy at that end of the roster. And that sort of voice has disappeared as blogs in that era of the 2000s have disappeared. But I kind of wonder what the life of these guys is and what it's like for Mikhailuk when he's making that decision about, am I going to go and take a, you know, take a contract in Europe, or am I going to try to hang on and take this deal with a team where, again, I might not play that much, and what that means for their careers going forward, especially when you are 26 years old, right? This is not somebody who's 35 or in their 30s. It's somebody who really should be entering their prime and is looking at it being like, what do I want for the rest of my career, and what it means to be a player who's somewhere deep in the rotation of a really good team versus playing on a tanking team and getting more minutes versus playing on a really good team for good money in Europe and what all that looks like. It'd be nice to have somebody with that voice back who we could, you know, sort of telling those stories, I think would be interesting in this era like it was then, because we don't know what these guys' decision-making processes are like. And it is funny that, it, you know, we had heard that rumor about Mikhailuk like a month ago, and it just sort of hung out there. And then you hear that they're talking to these other players and working them out, and did the Celtics withdraw their offer and then put it back out after working out these other guys and saying like, oh, that doesn't look so great. Were they working these guys out thinking that they were going to Europe? Were they working them out thinking they might sign two of them? We just don't really know enough about what it was. But I think we can say that the player that they got, again, makes sense and is a totally fine player to be your 11th or 12th guy in your rotation, fit into the vision of the team, is, you know, the right age to sort of know how to be an NBA player and on a roster like this. Whereas maybe some of those other guys who they looked at, maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But again, if any guy who you have for that role and you bring in and you say like, so by the way, you aren't going to play much, that might sort of end it for some of these guys where they're like, no, I need to continue on with my NBA career, where Mikhailuk can look at it and say like, yeah, you know, if this doesn't work out, I know I have a year from now, I'll have those same offers in Europe and can take those. So a lot of those dynamics, we just don't know. They're interesting. I would like, you know, I found it interesting to read about back then, but these days, who knows? The money's really good. That's the other thing you can say, right? All these guys are going to make, they've had enough years in the league where you're talking about making $2 million to, and plus your per diems and flying around on private jets and chartered flights and staying in nice hotels and all that. Like, I don't feel bad for any of these guys. They're all living the dream, even if they don't get on the court very often.
Maybe he thinks he can outplay some of these guys too. You're right. I mean, it's like, it's certainly like, this is not a bad gig for him. If you want to stay in the NBA, if you're getting close to guaranteed or a fully guaranteed deal here, you have a good chance at an NBA title, and maybe more than that down the line with a good show in some of these games, and knowing that this team is going to be looking for cheap talent for the long term if he ends up being a good fit. So C's up to 14 players now. Blake Griffin still kind of hanging out there. Brad Stevens saying some glowing words about him this week on EEI for a Jimmy Fund appearance, a fundraiser appearance. Blake also raving about Boston in a separate podcast appearance a couple weeks back. What do you, is this an open invite, do you think, to have Blake come back for that final spot? Do you like, do they need one more big on either that spot or a two-way spot just for depth purposes here? What do you do here, knowing that they're obviously going to sign a bunch more guys for camp, but who's your odds on favorite for that final spot, if anyone, or do you leave it open?
Leaving it open is just a money thing. Like, fill it, I don't care. Blake's fine. Everybody seemed to like him. Obviously Brad liked him. He had good moments during the year when he did play, thought he was useful. So that would be my choice if it's available, if he wants to come back, if he wants to play at all. It's hard to say for sure where he's thinking. And two-way guys, I know you talked to Forsberg about it, where like a two-way big, I just don't believe they're going to play. I don't think they're going to make a difference. So I don't really see that. I would probably go more towards a veteran if you're looking for somebody to fill that. There's just so much injury risk to be then looking and being like, we have a two-way guy who's like not proven at all in the NBA on the back end of a roster who might actually have to play for a team with this kind of, looking to hopefully win a title. That seems kind of risky. The guy that you get in that role probably isn't going to be any worse than the guy you get who's a veteran, to be honest. But in terms of coaching trust and things like that, yeah, if Blake wants to come back, it's totally cool with me. Bring him back. Is there anybody out there who you would prefer? The two-way guys, like, we have no idea what any two-way guys really going to look like. It's just like, who knows? Like, you sign a guy, it's like, whatever.
Right.
Anybody else out there that you like, though?
I mean, for the veteran, I'm with you on Blake. I mean, I think that's, especially from a locker room vibe standpoint after this offseason, I think getting someone in there after losing Marcus like Blake is probably a very good idea. For the fact that everyone loves him, for the fact that he did do a good job when on those rest back-to-backs early in the season in particular, and I think there's going to be plenty of those to go around this year between Rob, Al, and Porzingis, given the Kristaps foot situation at this point, which the team is insistent on is not going to be a problem going into training camp. But we've kind of seen this movie before with big guys. So I think that's certainly going to be a situation to keep an eye on all season long. And even if he is healthy, I think that's going to be a player that they're going to be proactively resting plenty to make sure that to increase the odds that he is actually good to go in April and May there. So it's, I don't know, I guess like do you want a bulkier guy? Do you want a different guy than Luke? A more different guy than Luke on the front line? Or is Blake just, and him, they showed enough chemistry and everything next year where you can see yourself just having both of those guys, and that's just, you're okay if either of those guys holding down the fort when needed as the season goes on.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I almost think the question is more like, instead of Blake, do you want someone who, if you need to, you're comfortable like running into the ground? Like, do you want somebody who's 25 instead of in their 30s and maybe is also an injury risk, or at least somebody who you wouldn't be super comfortable playing three games in four nights if two guys are injured or something like that? Like, do you almost want somebody who's just like, you can run and jump as well as you're ever going to run and jump? And if we need you to do that, if we need you to play three games in four nights, if we need you to play both ends of a back-to-back in two different roles, like, and we don't think you're a particularly like good player, right? Like, you're not nearly as skilled as Blake Griffin, even at this stage of his career, where Blake, the body maybe isn't able, but the mind is able to still do a lot of things. Where are you better off just getting like an athlete who you say, like, yeah, you're going to run out there and set screens and run up and down the court, and you're going to throw your body around and take some fouls. And like, we hope we don't actually need that. But if we get into a situation where Al and Rob and Kristaps are like all have things right at the same time, which is an entirely possible thing, and it's like, yeah, we need someone who can go out there and just run around, like throw their body around and like basically take a beating while you hope that Jalen and Jason can score enough in a couple of games to like steal you some wins when you're in a bad spot in the middle of February or something. So I would almost, that would be my question, is like, do you just literally want someone younger with a body that you sort of trust more, even if they just aren't as good of a player or as able to sort of read and fit into a game like Blake was able to? And I don't really have the answer to that. Sometimes the answer to that is, well, if you cross that bridge when you get to it, right? If you have to cut somebody or make a trade, right, to look for somebody like that, they're available and out there. You know, a two-way guy, signing a two-way guy now for a center spot feels like it will not go anywhere. But if you get into, again, a really difficult spot where you're like, boy, we need somebody, you'll also be in the middle of the G League season at that point where you can go find the best guy in the G League and sign him and say, we're going to throw you out there for a month and see what happens and see if you can take those minutes. So even in that perspective, like, I'm fine starting the season with Blake. And if like, if things change and you need to make an adjustment there, then you make that adjustment later. But that would really be my only question there. Like, it, but again, it's a two way street. Like, is he going to retire? Does he want to come back? Does he want to play closer to home? Where does he want to be, is part of that question. And then from there, I just don't think there's anybody else out there who's like, oh no, you really missed out on this other guy by bringing back Blake Griffin. Otherwise they would already be signed. So
I'm like looking through the list right now, and it is pretty pathetic for like bigs. Cause there is like the guy the younger guy who, there literally is no like big right now who doesn't have age or injury question marks out there, or just is totally washed. It's like, you know, I get Dwayne Dedman, Serge Ibaka, like, please, like, Boban. It's just a bunch of guys that are either A, inherently flawed as players, or B, are just don't have anything left at this stage of their career, where Blake probably outplayed them regardless last year.
I feel like there's a couple of guys who maybe along the way, like, they could have, I know this is very much like a blogger, podcaster sort of favorite, but like Dominic Barlow from the Spurs, who's back on a two-way contract, like,
yeah,
they may have missed a little bit of opportunity on a couple of guys around the league who there are people who like. And like, I'm not going to pretend that I watch a lot of the Spurs, and I just know he's a guy who is out there who, like, why isn't anybody offering this guy on a restricted free agency deal, like a full NBA contract? Like, the Spurs have too many guys, they want him back on a two-way. If somebody gives him just a full, you know, guaranteed deal, could you get him away even on restricted free agency? They could have like maybe taken a chance on a guy like that. And like, if the Spurs match, fine, you're back where you started anyway. Maybe there was somebody late in the sort of active part of free agency who you felt like they could have got to. But when you get to the point now, like you said, you look at the list of guys who are out there and just like, none of these guys make a difference. So bring back the guy who knows the system and knows the team and fit in very well and who everybody liked, and is also respected around the league. He's a respected voice by players like Jalen and Jason, who are trying to achieve some of the stuff that he achieved in his career. Everybody seems to just think he's a funny guy who everybody likes, right? Like, there's a lot of reasons why he would make sense to bring back. So that's fine at this point.
Yeah, it's funny that, because you, to your point, like, you could really sell an opportunity to a guy of that ilk earlier, and like a younger guy, be like, hey, you could really play here if you sign. Like, you're definitely going to play like 20, 30 games, like real minutes, and maybe a lot more than that, depending on how this injury situation plays out. So yeah, the fact that they, you know, weren't able to use that to their advantage with, you know, anyone that was cheap on the market is bad. But again, it's a long season. I don't expect them to be quiet with this roster as the year goes along. They have a TPE. They have a bunch of picks.
They're not using any of that. They're not doing it. I fully expect this to be a quiet season from a roster perspective.
I expect, you'd have to move Malcolm Brogdon to do anything. But if they, like, if they need to make a move to the roster, if like from adding a four or whatever, or just try and get off that contract, because it's just not a good fit anymore, slash there's, you know, damage done from the,
I hear you,
the mistrade. But you think they're locked in here? You think this is,
they're not locked in, like, things could change. I think that their vision for this team is that the team that they have now in large part is the one that they deliver to the playoffs. I think this roster looks like what they want this roster to look like. Now, things can change. You guy can get injured. A lot of things can happen. But you and I have been sort of separate on this since the Porzingis trade, where you're like, there's something else coming. I'm like, I don't know if there's anything else coming that's major. Like, obviously, there are other things coming to fill out the roster. But, like,
right.
I think they like the team the way that it looks right now. I think it fits a vision for how they want to play. I think it fits a salary structure for what they need to have this year until they bridge and figure out a year or two from now. Like, I don't know. Anything can happen, but like, I don't think they're going to trade, you know, I don't think that Brogdon plus three picks or two picks trade is coming at any point. Not this year, maybe next offseason. But I,
yeah,
think
I feel like it, I would expect them. I'd be shocked if they're on the team a year from now. So I don't know. I guess I would, I mean, we'll see what it all looks like. If Brogdon plays like he did last year, then that's a guy that it's going to be tough to remove in season from this team.
He plays like he played in the playoffs where he was.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like
if he plays like he did in the regular season, it's totally fine. Yeah. I just think they believe that they can win the title with this team if it meshes the way that they view it in terms of shooting and defense. So,
But did you see enough? I don't know. I kind of just see Brogdon now as like, I never thought he was the right mix for like the final five as is last year, like a closing five, if you will. And so I almost like, we'll see what Peyton Pritchard looks like. We'll see, obviously, Derek White's going to be front and center, but I almost view him as being like, okay, with him and those picks, I think you can do better for like the now potentially. And whether, again, there is all sorts of additional considerations to go over their salary, but if you're going to move them next year regardless, then I think trying to find an upgrade if an injury happens or just because you want to take some pressure off other guys on the roster, if you really are happy with what Pritchard's doing, I wouldn't be surprised to see them do that. But, I mean, that we have a long time before that even comes into consideration here.
Well, I don't disagree with you. What I disagree with is I don't think the team agrees with you, right? Like, you and I are probably closer together on this. I don't think that they agree. I think that they think that his versatility is somebody who can handle the ball and score and defend bigger guys is more valuable than what you or I see. And maybe they're right. I mean, we'll find out. But that's my point, is not that they should not trade him. Tell me what's out there on that. It's that I don't think that they will trade him. I think that this is the team that they would ideally like to get to the playoffs, because like I said, I think that they look at the team and say, we have a lot of shooting and that Brogdon's not gonna be part of the closing five anyway, and that they believe that they have a team that can win the title. And I agree that they have a team that can win the title. I think they probably think they have higher odds than I do at the moment, but we're not like miles apart on it. Like, they've been close enough where if the team meshes well and their vision for it comes together, then that's absolutely where they will be. It's just, you know, we'll see how that works out. Hopefully they're right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to spare you from Porzingis talk about the foot. Well, there'll be plenty of time for that during training camp. But make sure you're following Ryan at Danger Cart on Twitter and Blue Sky and wherever else you can get him on social media these days. We'll be back next week. We'll see still a lot of veteran men signings, training camp signings on the horizon here. I didn't realize, Ryan, that training camp starts a week late because of the FIBA World Cup this year, but at least no Celtics will be having a season ending injury in the next couple weeks. So that's they can at least have that kind of an upside, thanks to Brissett and Kristaps taking a seat here.
I'm totally fine with that. I do not need Jason Tatum leading Team USA in the World Cup. He's reached the level of being an Olympic player only. So no complaints about any of that. I'm happy to see other teams steal the spotlight for a few weeks in the middle of the offseason.
A nice change of pace for the players and for the beat writers as well on the Celtics front. But all right, well, enjoy the World Cup, people, and we'll talk to you guys next week.